Well, Father, Lord God, I just pray that you would heal this morning, Lord.
And if he doesn't come, I'll go to him.
Worship and fellowship with you. I thank you that we are able to come to a place, Lord, where we can just love each other. We just feel like family, Lord God. And we have a great teacher, Father, who just wants to follow you, Lord God, and be led by you, Lord. And I thank you for giving us that feeling that we're in a safe place, Lord, in the arms of family. Praise you. Corrie Ten Boom and her sister, who during the whole World War II era, Father, they just gave their life to you, Father. They knew that they may not make it, but even Corrie holding onto that tiny little Bible that you gave her, Father, and sharing, Lord God, your word, and bringing so many to Christ. Father, we may not always be able to have our life, Lord God, but that doesn't matter because we know that we have a hope in you, Lord. We know that we might lose friends, Lord God. We might lose relationships, Father. We might lose that job, Lord God. But, Father, as long as we're following you, Lord, we don't have to worry, Father. Help that to be our mindset, Lord, that no matter what, Lord, because you do love us so much, we will follow you. Gift of redemption and salvation, Lord. It's just so beautiful, Lord. I thank you for this new identity that I have, creating me to be a new person, trust in. And someone that laid down their life for me, Father, even in the midst of all of my sin and everything wrong that I was doing, even though you knew everything that I was going to do from beginning to end, you laid your life down. Father, I pray for your leading today, Lord. In our hearts, Lord God, anything, whatever's being taught, Father, I pray, Lord, that you just pierce our hearts, Lord. Give us that broken, contrite heart, Lord. Help it to be soft so we can be taught, Father. Help anything in the past that stifled us or held us back or made us have anger or just any hurt, Lord God. Help that all just to fall away, Father. I want to be here today, Father. I want to learn today. I want to grow today in you, Lord God. Renew our minds. Help us to be that that new leather, that new wineskin, Father, so we can get that new wine and accept that living water, Father.
Clicked it.
Oh, you clicked it?
Here it goes.
Okay, you're amazing. Except, okay, there we go. Okay, so you guys know the drill. We got free Panera bread. Seems like I'm a little loud for the sound of it. We got some free Panera bread if you guys want. We've got lots of loaves of bread back there. I just got some good. I got a big loaf of Parmesan bread myself for our family, but we want to make sure you take it. It's all free as a gift in Jesus' name. Go see the movie Case for Christ in theaters still. Want to encourage you to go see that. We want to also make mention of family game night that we're having here Saturday, May 20th at Home Fellowship Church. And I think that's going to be at 5 o'clock. Is that right,
Church?
5 o'clock? Okay, starting at 5 o'clock. And so we just want to invite you out. If you need more information, see Wendy Joe. We'll wait on that one for next week, too. And also, if you guys don't know, we're going to have Paul and Marcia Cowley coming out on Sunday, June 25th, and they're missionaries to the slums in Africa, literally to the worst of the worst slums in all of Africa. And they're coming here on Sunday, June 25th, and we're going to have a little cookout afterwards, just hamburgers, hot dogs, stuff like that. And so we just want to invite you to come out to that and just to be in prayer for that as well. Also, you can always use help in the children's ministry back in the back. And so if you want to work with kids and you love the Lord and you want to share that love of the Lord with the kids once a month, we would love to have you. Also, I'm going to pause it here. George, if it flips, just stop me for a second. Part of our ministry, the next couple of weeks, we'd love to equip the saints. Actually, you know what? I am going to go a couple more. Sorry, Jorge. I'm going to go a couple more. Okay, sermon's online. You got that. Pow. Pow. Amethyst line. Okay, well, I'll get back to that. All right, so Monday mornings, you know, we got prayer here at 9 a.m. Starting this Tuesday,
yes.
May 9th, okay, we're doing a new girls' Bible study, women's Bible study by Priscilla Shirer. And it's 6:30 here for fellowship and 7 p.m. for Bible study. Teens are also invited. It's $15 for the book. I think it's a five-week session is all it is. Every other week, and if you don't have the $15, then we'll just give it to you free in Jesus' name, because we just want you to grow. Lisa, is there anything that you want to say about that at all? And if you can, obviously Jess wants to say something.
Yeah, actually.
Okay, do you mind, let me I'll have Nate run the mic to you real quick, and then you can say whatever you want to say.
Actually, I really didn't want to say much about it, but I felt like the Lord was putting on my heart that, you know, this study, I was praying about different ones to do, and this one just kept coming back to me. Just the word breathe. You know, when you hear that word, what do you think at first? Some of us are thinking, I don't have time to think about breathing. Some of us are thinking, wow, that would be nice. You know, there's a lot of thoughts that come to our mind when we think about the word breathe. And the study, she's going to go into the heart behind the Sabbath, and reclaiming the Sabbath in our lives. And it's not a legalistic way of saying, okay, we've got to fix Saturday, and Saturday's going to be the day. We can't do anything, can't, you know. It's the heart behind it. It's the, it's being obedient also to the word of putting aside time and a place to meet with the Lord and to rest in Him. And I think we really need that. We need that as a body. We need that as women. You know, whether we're busy with jobs or kids or just some of us are. I remember a time in life I was just busy trying to get well. You know, there's always a busy that's happening. And God has designed us in a way that we are to celebrate a Sabbath with Him. In a time and a place that, you know, He can put on our hearts. And it's so important, you know, and that some of that comes with trusting Him. And so it's not just trying to pick a day or trying to pick a way to celebrate rest. It's trying to learn how to trust Him, that He's going to take care of all the things that we're worried about. He's going to take care of all the things that are undone. And learning to just, like it is, breathe, you know, breathe in Him and let His breath be what restores us and what renews us. It gives us the strength to do what He's called us to do.
Amen.
So, anyways, I wasn't going to say much, but that's what the Lord put on my heart, is His heart towards wanting us to come out for this. So if that speaks to your heart, please come and join us. If we need to order more books, we'll order more books. Invite your friends. I know there's a bunch of you ladies that said, I want my friend to come. Please invite them. They're welcome. We'd love to have them. And if anybody wants to do the study at home and bring the CDs home when we're done with them, you can do that too. But please join us if you feel led to. Okay? Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you for being led by the Holy Spirit too and speaking even though you didn't want the job. That's what it's about. Okay, so we're not supposed to have youth group this Wednesday, but all the kids had such a blast last Wednesday and they didn't finish what they were doing. They wanted to meet together this Wednesday. So youth, yes, we are meeting together this Wednesday to finish up the film and the teaching. So anyway, this here at Home Fellowship Church, 6:30 to 8:30, youth group this week. Also, barbecue and Bible study, as Uncle Tom will be sharing this week. So that means I get a nice break. Yes, go down. And Kingdom Living, I think we're taking a break for a couple months, isn't that right? That's when you do it. Okay, fantastic. And continue praying for Christian Heart Christian School. And Mayan is here to share her testimonies. Okay, and for those of you guys who weren't here, so funny. Those of you guys who weren't here last week, just so that you know, that the Loving Hands Ministry boys that came in here, we did give them, we have given them Bibles for their ministry as they're dealing with recovering addicts. We would ask you to pray for Anthony, Flo's son, as he is in there right now at Loving Hands. We would ask that you would really pray for him. And then also we gave them additional finances, a bunch of money as well, from this little body is going pouring into this ministry just this last time that they were here. And we took them all out to eat. They were so happy. And then we also gave them some finances for Bibles or whatever they needed. So we just want to make sure you guys do that. Also, from the Thursday night Bible study, you guys weren't here. I made a slight error, but I have to admit it. This is from the Christian Post from just a couple of weeks ago. This is the headlines of the Christian Post. Mother Asa Bibi is sentenced to hang for insulting Islam. And you know that. But I had shared a story that was on the Christian Post and the headlines of it in the U.S. that a Florida teacher was banning cross necklaces, wouldn't allow them in the room because of her lesbian gay agenda. And she said that the crosses these girls were wearing were gang symbols, and that since she felt threatened and terminated, she made them take the stuff, made them remove their crosses from their neck, you know. And I said this is at Riverview High School, and here, this is here in Florida. It's headline news in the U.S. that this is happening. They're being forced to take off their crosses. We're talking little tiny crosses, ripping them off their necks. And anyway, I said that it was at Riverview High School, but I thought it was the one in Sarasota, which is about 40 minutes south, but it's in Tampa. There's another Riverview in about 40 minutes north of here, and so it's in Tampa.
But she wants them to engage in LGBT activism?
Yeah, and well, she is, and so she's making them, you know, not have Bibles or even have crosses, saying that, well, that's, it's just, you know what, unfortunately, that's just our culture right now. And so, so if you would, just pray, if you would, just pray, and God would just soften their hearts. And, yeah, so also in that, listen, if you guys have, you know, anybody who's struggling in tons of sins, you know that we all struggle with, I mean, you know, we've got folks here that have struggled with that and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We have folks who have struggled with drugs and alcohol and crack and you name it, and pride, and God's delivered us from all those things. But if anybody hasn't gotten one of these videos, we're an equipping church. This is a movie called Audacity. It addresses, you know, it's, it says love can't stay silent. It addresses homosexuality and lesbianism in a way that's truthful, right from the word, but loving. And so if you would like to find out more about it, or if you have a friend that maybe you want to share something like that with them, we've handed these out in the past, but if you would like a copy of this, just raise your hand, and we'll bring one, give you one too. Okay, all right, great. Wedge, would you deliver a few back there? Thank you. Right in the back there. Okay. Anybody else? Yep. Okay, and there's no... You have no obligation to buy. It's all free, just in Jesus' name. We want you to be equipped, and then we want you to equip others. Anybody else want another copy of Audacity? Free, in Jesus' name. Yeah. Okay. All right. But wait, there's more. Okay. We're also talking about, there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on, right? One of the best books I've ever read, it's fictional, but it's excellent, is a book called This Present Darkness. We've handed out about 50 of them, I think, in the last year. If anyone hasn't got a copy of this and would like one, raise your hand. I'll give it to you in Jesus' name. Okay, come back there. As a guy, this time of year, we're walking back there. Actually, let me make sure I can do the right ones. Yes? It's probably the best book on spiritual warfare most of us have read. But again, that's not all. If you've already read that one on This Present Darkness, there's a second one by Frank Peretti called Piercing the Darkness. And it's about the spiritual battles that a small church and a small Christian school are having to go through. Interesting. Now, Wendy Jo, we just gave one to you. Did you read this? And are you... Okay, and what did you think? Would you mind grabbing the mic and just... I know I'm putting you on the spot. You might have hated it. You could have loved it.
No, I really liked the book.
Okay.
And in fact, This Present Darkness, we're listening to it in audio, part of our devotion at the school.
Awesome.
So we're all... at Elijah's suggestion.
Awesome.
So he really... And so we've been trying to make sure that... because we are a little school, and that we're praying for each other, and trying to make sure that... if anybody feels like they're being spiritually attacked, we want to make sure that we're praying for protection to the school.
That's awesome. I love it. Okay. So if anyone would like the second in the series to This Present Darkness, okay. Jojo, congratulations. Now you are going to bring out, here, grab some of these. And there's a bunch of people in the back. I'll grab a few more. Anybody up front? Anybody else in front? Like the second in the series, Piercing the Darkness. Free as a gift in Jesus' name. We just want you to grow in the Lord.
That's what he was asking.
Anybody wants to grow, it's not because we're not trying to put things in your hands.
Lisa was plenty
in your heart.
Right, but we had it after that once.
One more.
Like,
yes, you can say something.
I just wanted to encourage somebody about that. Those two books is... that even if you're not necessarily interested in a story or whatever, it will really open your eyes to praying and understanding the power of our prayers.
Yes.
Because I read that book 23 years ago at Braden Christian High School because it was required reading back then. And I've not read it since then. But even now when I pray, the picture that I get in my mind when I'm praying of imagining the warriors coming and battling the darkness is so real. I mean, it just so stuck with me all these years that it has really encouraged me to understand the power of prayer, you know. And so if for no other reason, to just be encouraged on how to pray, you know, or not how to pray, but why what we pray helps.
Yes.
You know, it really does. It strengthens that spiritual, those angels. They're just waiting for somebody to start praying so that they can be released to go do what they're to do. So.
Thanks, honey. All right. And we gave you one of these last week. Okay, good. Is there anybody else that wants a free copy? Fantastic. All right, we'll hand out more free stuff next week. And actually, we are in the book of Romans. We're in Romans chapter 14. We go verse by verse through the Bible so that you can understand what it means in context and you don't get any wacky teaching. Oh, Carl, come on up.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. There's more.
There's more.
Yeah, choose. Do you want a Bible?
Didn't think that's going to get your attention. The church directory, Susie's getting ready to update it. And if you would, on this clipboard is a copy of the directory, and underneath the copy of the directory are some forms to fill out information. If you would, I'm going to pass this around. If it don't get to you, it'll be in the back after the service. Look through the directory. If your name or names is in there, would you... are already on the directory, would you look at it and make sure everything is correct? Phone numbers, email addresses, etc. If it's not, would you correct them on the directory? Just cross it out and correct whatever's wrong, or whatever, however you want it on there. If it is correct, would you just put a check through your name showing that this one's good, we don't have to do anything to it? If you're not even on the directory or in the directory, on the back pages on one of them, would you fill that out with your name and all the information that you would like in the directory? And you don't have to give everything, just whatever you... Hat sizes are not necessary. Yes, ma'am.
Are you putting birthdays on this one?
There's a date of birth on there.
Okay, are you...
A place for it.
Are you including it in the directory?
You're asking me. I didn't do it.
That we'll ask next week. We'll ask that one to Susie.
Yeah. No, they are not on the... It's in,
they haven't been in,
it's in the information, but it's not in the directory that everyone will get.
Okay.
So I'm going to leave this, go around the room. Any questions before I...
Okay, since you delayed, now we're going to give you more free stuff because Carl came up here. What a blessing. Okay, so last chance. Anybody want the second in the series of This Present Darkness? Anybody? Spiritual Warfare? Okay, wow, that's funny.
First.
Great, there's a couple more. Fantastic.
The first one as well?
Oh, the first one as well?
I'll take a first one too.
Yeah, done. Good. I'll keep handing out free stuff. You want another one? Okay. First one as well?
Correct.
Good, fantastic. All right, also, if anybody would like a free book, More Than a Carpenter, if you guys are, if you're logically minded, this is a fantastic book I'd encourage you to read. What makes Jesus so different? Is he a Lord, lunatic, or liar? What about science in the Bible? Is the Bible records reliable? It goes on and on. If you read this, you'll be able to defend your faith in a logical way, probably better than most Christians on the planet, this tiny little book. So if anybody wants one of these books, free as a gift, in Jesus' name, coming at you. Anybody? Oh, let me do. Okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. All right, some more back there. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, Joe. So you're already running. I got you running. Bunch more back there. Anybody else? Yep. Anybody over here? Okay, coming your way, buddy. Don't get hit in the face. Close. Okay, we're back over there and over there. If we're out, tell me, JoJo, and I'll grab some more. While he's handing that out, I've got another book. Okay. Okay? What an equipping body we have. Thank you for being so supportive. This is the Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. This is one of my favorite books. Starts off slow, but I'm telling you, you will look at Psalm 23. You will look at the shepherd differently than you've ever looked at it before. And so I would encourage you to take one of these books free as a gift in Jesus' name. And there's plenty of seats up here, guys. Come on in. Okay, so who wants a Psalm 23 book? Okay, fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. Joe, Brother One, start handing them out. I'll give them over on this side.
Yep.
Fantastic, Jim. I love it. Especially done. Olivia? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. So.
I'll take one of those. I got a whole
Gary, you want one? Coming at you. Some more in the back. Here, Joe, you need more?
Reload.
Lock and load. There you go, brother. As many as you want. More? More just in case. Good. Anybody else? Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. Back there. Fantastic. Like love it. Chantel. Sanja. Why don't they pronounce the J? That's what I want to know. Why is it Sanja and not Sanja? Anybody know? One of the great mysteries. Okay. So here we are. So normally we go through the Word of God and we're in the book of Romans. However, I've been struggling with something, and something you said about prayer. George, get this one off and put up 1 Chronicles chapter 7. We'll just give him a minute to do that. And we're actually going to not finish Romans. We spent the last 2 weeks in Romans chapter 14 up to verse 11. However, I feel like the Lord is leading us in a different way. And so 1 Chronicles chapter 7. Yes, you know, I can't keep track of anything. Where'd my clicker go? Anybody know? That's what I get for being ADD. Oh, here we are. Fantastic. Okay. Now, guys, we're at Home Fellowship Church. What do we do? We're just a place where we can come and learn and grow together. But here is what we're about, okay? It says Home Fellowship Church. We're about His heart, His word, and His spirit. Now, this is important, and I honestly haven't studied at all for what we're talking about today, but the Lord just threw all these heavy work on these slides. It was so funny yesterday, and so we're just going to trust Him that He did it, and He'll make it all work for a reason. But first, we have His heart. Listen, here at this church and here as a Christian, we need to make sure that love blankets all that we do, right? Listen, you and I have both met very mean, legalistic, self-righteous, prideful Christians, right? With a bunch of knowledge that makes you want to run the opposite way of Jesus in His heart. Haven't you? We have to have... Listen, how do I even say this? His heart is the motivation for everything that we should do at this church. So any of you pastoring, any of you leading, any of you sharing, the heart should be the motivation. Jesus Christ's heart should be the motivation from which everything flows. Because without love, you know, we can have all knowledge, Corinthians says, right? And it says we're just a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If we have all knowledge, if we have power to move mountains, and we don't have love, then we have nothing. Even if we've given everything we have to the poor, if we don't have love, it's nothing. It means nothing to the Lord. Because God is love. Jesus' heart is love. When He gave to you, and He gave to me, and He's willing to take all of our sins and sacrifice on that cross, He is showing the demonstration of His love. And so everything we must be doing and saying has to come out of that heart of love. Or we got it wrong. Whether it's me, or you, if it's not loving, if it's not out of love and from a heart of love, well, I'll go to church, but I just don't like all those people. Lord, change my heart. Help me to be filled with Your Holy Spirit in you. your love, because that's not how he sees them. I'm pointing at your backside. He doesn't look at Rebecca and go, oh, Rebecca again. He's like, man, I love her. She's precious in my sight. She's my daughter. You know what I'm saying? That's his heart. How dare we get prideful or arrogant or whatever. His heart flows from a heart of love. Okay? And so should we at this church. So if that's not, if you're struggling, ask him to do a work in your heart even right now. Because even the hard things that are said, you can do it with the heart of love. They might not receive it. But as long as your heart is coming from a heart of love, you're doing the right thing. So everything, we have to be about his heart. That has to be paramount, because that's who he is. His word is in there. So if his heart is our motivation, how do we even say this? What was I saying? Give me just a second, all right? Since this is not, I didn't plan any of this stuff. Lord, give it to me, please. I'll go with this one. No, you tell me to go with the word. Okay, so the word has to also be central. So his heart has to be the motivation for everything, but his word has to be central to what we do here. Because without the word, you're going to be weak. That's how we grow in our faith. That's how we're strengthened. Not just getting it in your melon, but getting it in your heart. Son, if all you get it is in here and you know the right Bible answers to say, and it's not really in your heart and how you live your life, then you're wasting your time. God wants our hearts changed, not just our minds and what we know. He wants our hearts changed. And that comes through the Word. That's why if you're just coming here on Sunday, oh Lord, let me beg you, please grab some of these books, grab some of these devotions, grab the Word of God and just start reading in the New Testament. Pick a book and then you start reading. Chapter 1, verse 1, start reading. Pray, ask God, will you please speak to me through it? Because that's how we're going to become strong. That's how we're going to be able to take our stand against the wicked one. So the word, so we have the motivation, you know, and we have this word being central, but we also need the method, and the method is his spirit. Listen, God operates differently in everybody's life. It's the Holy Spirit being led by the Holy Spirit and through prayer. Listen, I don't want to be here a talking head. I don't want somebody coming here just listening to words that I say. That's a waste of time. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to flow out of the words that's being said as we read the word, as we teach expository, as the word goes forth, that lives would be changed. And that comes through prayer, and that comes through the power of prayer, as you were saying, Mama Weave. It comes through the power of prayer. As the Holy Spirit changes lives. Listen, God doesn't want you just saved and still be addicted to crack or porn, whatever it might be, whatever it is in your life, prideful, selfish, self-centered. God doesn't want that. He wants sin-free life. He wants you free from all that stuff so that you walk and run in the paths of his commands. And that comes through prayer. And that comes through the power. I want to see more of God's power overflow. I want it to overflow. I've been in ministry for a long time now, and I've seen a lot of, you know, yucky, fake stuff. I've seen a lot of methods where you say God a certain way, you get people revved up, you get people. There's a lot of ways that people will do it. But I don't want any part of that. What I want is real. I want his heart. I want his word, and I want his spirit. And I want us to be open to his spirit. It was wonderful on Thursday. We had everybody in here just raising our hands to the Lord. I loved it. I loved it. I want us to be empowered. I want us to be jazzed up, passionate for prayer. In the Bible, did you notice that, did people pray? Do you remember people praying and things happening? Just asking you. Who do you remember? Shut. I want to hear. Who? What?
Elijah.
Elijah? He prayed? What happened to him?
Verse
7 years, and then he prayed again, and it rained. It started raining as soon as he said it was. Moses, same deal.
Good. Who else?
David.
What? Daniel?
David.
Daniel. What? Pick one of them. What did David do?
David prayed unto the Lord, and he prayed in repentance for his sin.
Yes.
And God forgave him.
Amen.
And he prayed for God to bless Israel.
Yes.
And for his son, Solomon, that was going to come and take the reign.
Yes.
Pray for him.
Absolutely. David's life was continually led by prayer. He was in fact, one of the things why the former king, Saul, was kicked out is because it says he didn't inquire. But it says David inquired of the Lord. He was constantly praying, asking him what to do next, what to do here. Just because a church or a body or a family does this thing and it works here doesn't mean it's going to work with you. What does the Holy Spirit have to say? We have to be continually praying and asking, Lord, what do you want in this situation?
Even Jesus prayed.
Jesus prayed.
Jesus prayed.
What? What did he do? Do you remember?
He constantly prayed. That's how he led his life. He only did what he saw the Father did. So he
had
the total, you know.
Yes, even when at the last, you remember he went to the Garden of Gethsemane in the middle when he was healing all those people? You remember he went off to a quiet place to pray, to get directed? He was constantly praying, getting recharged.
He prayed for us?
Yes.
He prayed for us, the church?
John 17, absolutely.
He prayed
for the sinner. Who else? Did Paul pray? Paul was constantly waging war in prayer. Daniel, constantly praying. If you look at any godly person in the Bible, they were constantly in prayer. But what's one of the weakest areas, I'm going to say maybe in our lives, I won't say in your life or my life, because then you're like, you're picking on me. But what's one of the weakest areas in our life?
Prayer.
Isn't that funny? Yet that's where the power comes from. Isn't that funny? And so we have to be filled with his heart. That's the motivation where everything should come out of. We have to have his word. That has to be central. We teach verse by verse, but we teach the whole of God's word so that you can't be blown around by every wind of doctrine. And that's why it's so important. And we have his spirit to be led and empowered by his spirit. Or otherwise, why are we even here? I want to see God move. I think God can do exceedingly abundantly more than he's doing right now. Okay? I'm just saying that. So I'm not downing anybody or like, bad people, God's not doing enough. I'm just saying, whatever you think God's doing or has done, especially if you've been here a while, you know, this place was just woods, we didn't have portables, we didn't have even car keys. God's doing, wants to do so much more. And this is not a rah-rah thing. This is, he wants to do more in your life, Diane. As you surrender to him. He wants to do more in your life, Connie. As you just give up those things you're struggling with. You know what I mean? As you let go and let God lead you in every way. Do you know what I'm saying? God wants to do so much more in your life. He wants to set you free from sin and death. That's who he is. It was the National Day of Prayer this week, and I think I even have a copy. He's like, oh, wow. This is from Anne Graham Lotz. It was the National Day of Prayer. And this is what she said. I'm just going to read it to you. She said, I believe we're going through, and if you've been here and aware at all over the last 10 years, I believe we're going through a time in our nation that I would describe as a spiritual drought. Lotz said, if this is so, and if the problems of our nation are coming because God is missing, then issuing an executive order will not fix that. Politics will not fix that. Immigration reform and health reform and some of these other things like that will not fix it. The only thing that will fix it is if God's people who are called by God's name will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. Listen, this is not just for the outside. This is for us. It should start with us. And this is what she confessed. She confessed like 12 things on behalf of the church. I'm just going to read it to you. And then I'm going to go over that scripture in Chronicles. And we're going to turn there. She said this. These are 12 national sins that for the National Day of Prayer. She said, we confess our foolishness of denying you as the one true living God, our Creator, to whom we are accountable, living as though our lives are a cosmic accident with no significance or purpose or meaning. We confess that. We confess that we no longer fear you as a nation, and thus we don't even have the beginning of wisdom in which to handle this vast knowledge and power that we have. We confess to believing that the prosperity of our nation is because we're great, while refusing to acknowledge that all the blessings really come from your hands. We confess that we depend on our military might and weapon systems to defend us from harm and danger, while denying and defying and ignoring you are the one that really protects us. We confess that we've succumbed to the pressure and pluralism in our desire to be inclusive so that we honor other gods as though you are just one of many. We confess that we have allowed the material blessings you've given us to deceive us into thinking we don't even need you. We confess that we feel entitled to what someone else has earned instead of taking responsibility ourselves and our families as we trust in you. We confess that as we live as though material wealth and prosperity will bring us happiness. We confess our greed has run up trillions of dollars of national debt. We confess our arrogance and pride that has led us to think we are sufficient in and of ourselves. These last three. We confess our nation is addicted to sex, to money, pleasure, entertainment, pornography, technology, drugs, alcohol, food, television, popularity, and addicted to ourselves. We confess that we have marginalized truth and mainstream lies. And we confess, lastly, that we have become one nation under many gods, divided and polarized, with a license to sin and justice that often does not follow the rules of the law. Wow. That was pretty much a slinker, don't you think? That was Anne Graham Lotz. That's the daughter of...
talking to the
politician. Billy Graham. This was in Washington. I think she's talking to all of us.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing that we have to remember. Open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 7. What?
First or second?
Oh, 2 Chronicles. I'm sorry.
The next one.
I think it was off the Christian Post. I got that. World News Christian Post. Yeah, sorry. I said 1 Chronicles, but I meant 2 Chronicles. I apologize. If anybody needs a Bible, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Okay. Fantastic. That's okay. You go bring one back. Way in the back corner. Oh, a few more. Fantastic. That's all right. Okay, so we're going to take... a scripture, and maybe you've probably already heard it and whatever, and I don't know what the Lord, like I said, I didn't even study for this. I just made all these slides yesterday. Literally, I'm telling you, 10, 12 hours, you had me going. I didn't even get up. And I'm like, why am I even doing this, Lord? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Okay? Yes, right after 1 Chronicles. I know how helpful that is. Is everybody there? Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It's in the Old Testament. And we have three things here. First, we're going to read it. And if anywhere, somebody with a mic would read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. No. 14, yes. Would you get somebody to read? If you'd raise your hand, Nate will bring you the microphone. We just want you to read that verse out loud, please.
Or I'll just do it real quick.
Oh, yeah.
This is up there.
Yep.
And actually, if we could all read together up there. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. And I will heal their land.
Good. Thank you for being obedient to the Lord right there. So first, we have the promise of God. Okay? This is the first promise. This is the promise of God. Okay? And this first part here, the section is, that I outlined here, underlined or highlighted or whatever, is the promise. It says, if my people who are called by my name. So here's the first part. The first is the promise. And I circled the if. Because there's a lot of if and thens in the Bible. God does a lot of, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. Okay? It's not just, hey, Jesus is my homeboy and I do and live however I want. He just blesses me. If he does, it's because he's merciful with you. But he wants you to be obedient to him. First, it's a key word there. He's saying, if. And if you do that in your Bible, circle it or highlight it. He's saying, if my people who are called by my name, have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Okay? If you have, then you're his people. And you're called by his name. If you've given your life over to him, then that's who you are. You are called by his name. Hit the lights just for a second, Ezekiah, please. And that word if is strong. Okay? This is in Psalm 81, verses 8 to 6. Okay? And there's a big if here, okay? Because some people think, well, just God's just sovereign. Whatever happens, happens. And he is sovereign, but he gives us free will and that sovereignty to make choices. Okay? So this if that you're seeing is really important in Psalm 81, 8 to 16. This is God speaking. He says, hear me, my people, and I will warn you if, this is interesting, if you would only listen to me, Israel. And Israel means governed by God. So if you call yourself a Christian, called by his name, you are governed by God. You're supposed to be anyway, right? I'm supposed to be. He's saying, if you would only listen to me, you shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not worship any god other than me. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and that slavery. It's a picture of that sin-filled life. You know, God frees us from that slavery of sin. He says, open wide your mouth and I'll fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. Am I listening to the Lord? Are you submitting to the Lord? He says, okay, so I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. You want to go that way? Go that way. And here's some more ifs. But listen, if my people would only listen to me, this is the Lord, this is the creator of heaven and earth, if you would just listen some. He says, if Israel would only follow my ways, or if my people, governed by God, you, me, would just follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hands against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest wheat and with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you if you would just do that. So this promise that everybody reads at this National Day of Prayer, if my people would just follow my name, they read it, they hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. But there's an if there. So the question is, will you do these things? Will you listen to Jesus? Will you be open to be led by his Holy Spirit? Will you submit to his word? And I'm not talking about his word when it's convenient. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about his word when it's convenient. It's just something to think about. It says, if my people who are called by my name, and that's important. Being called by my name means being identified with. Right? Like, I have my Shuttlebauer boys, okay? They do things at school, and that's identified with Pastor Darren. Right? Your deeds, your words are identified with Jesus if you call on his name. You represent him to other people. You represent his family. It says this. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, to the church of Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. If you've given your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, that's you. He says, you are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people. He's called you to live set apart, live a holy life. It says, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. So if he's called you, if you are his, then he's called you to be a holy people, sanctified, who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't know Jesus, Romans 10:13 says that anyone and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. Right now, if you don't know it, you are a sinner. I was there. But it says, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's eternal death. That's separation from Jesus Christ forever. Jesus has come to pay all of our sins, okay? So what it's saying is, listen, if you will call the name of the Lord, if you will call and say, Jesus, I don't even know how to say this, but I know that the direction I'm going in life is the wrong way. I know that I'm not honoring you. I know my life isn't working. I want to give my life over to you. I want to be identified with you. I want you, God, to take control of my life, and I want you to lead me in the way I should go, whatever it takes. I know that you died for my sins. I know that you rose from the dead, and I want to be with you, Lord. I know my heart is wicked, and I need you to cleanse me from sin. I know it. I know it, but I know that you can give me a new heart. I know that. In whatever words God gives you, I want you to give me a new heart, God. I want you to give me a new purpose, God. I want you to give me a new direction in life, God. I don't want it to be rah-rah stuff. I want you to come and just take over and lead me, Lord. I submit myself to you. I call on your name. I want to be part of your family. Not a part of Home Fellowship Church or denominational whatever. Jesus, I want you, Jesus. I want you to free me and help me. He will do that because your God loves you. That's your God. It's the supernatural power will start to take over, and he'll change you from the inside out. That stuff that you couldn't change, God will do from the inside out. Acts 2:38 says, Peter said to those people who didn't know him, he said, repent, that means turn around, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Again, identifying with Jesus, his character, his heart, his ways, for the remission of sin or for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. What does that mean? I just say some words and that I'm saved and that I'll just live my life the way I want? No. 2 Timothy says this, God's solid foundation sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses or calls on the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So, in being saved, in calling on his name, you're saying, I want to do a turn. I want to turn away from the way I'm going and the way the enemy's going, and I want to turn towards the way you're going, God. Whatever that is, I want to know it, and I want to follow you, God. 2 Timothy 2:19. So first we have the promise, if my people who are called by my name, then we have the action, okay? So if you'll do this, God's people, and he starts with God's people. He doesn't start with anybody else. He's saying, you, my people, if you will do this, if you call yourself by my name, that's the promise. Then comes the action. Here's what I want you to do, okay? There's really four things. He's like, I want you to humble yourself. I want you to pray. I want you to seek my face. And I want you to turn from your wicked ways. That's the action. And he's talking to God's people. He's talking to you. And he's talking to me. The first thing I notice he says is this. Humble themselves. I don't know. But I don't know if it's just me or maybe it's you too, but the Lord has given me this. Or maybe it's because before I came to know the Lord, I was so prideful. But, oh, I just can't stand pride now. I have this little pride-o-meter. You know what I mean? And it just goes off. And I see so many in the church, even when they're trying to do the right thing, so prideful. And I want you to know, this is the first thing he says to his people. Humble yourself. Listen. And if you think your spouse needs to be humbled, or your friend needs to be humbled, or your daughter needs to be humbled, let me tell you, they may. But maybe you need to be humbled. Probably you do, because you don't realize it. God is talking to you. Humble yourself, Josh. Humble yourself, Natalie. Miriam, humble yourself. Listen. This is what the word says. This is the action he's telling his people to take. This is what it says about the proud and the humble in the Bible. It's so important. Listen, God. This is what Jesus says. This is what God says. He says in Psalm 18:27, "You rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud." Zoinkaramas, huh? I don't know about you. Maybe your life is going fantastic. Okay, good for you. But right now, and I'll tell you, when I got saved, and even I need to be rescued, like almost every day. I need the Lord to rescue me out of situations I get myself in, situations the enemy puts me in, other people put, rescue me, Lord. Right. He'll rescue the humble. That's what he does. But he'll humiliate the proud. Ow. That's a tough scripture to chew on. But I want to be rescued, not humiliated. I do enough humiliation on my own. Proverbs 3, 33 and 34 says this, guys. The Lord curses the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the upright. And the Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. Or he gives grace to the humble. I need lots of his grace. I want him to be gracious with me. Yes, Elijah. Okay, that's a good question. Well, you know what?
Can you repeat that?
Yes, he said, okay, it says the Lord curses the house of the wicked and he blesses the home of the upright. He mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. You know, and he said, well, why don't we see that? It depends on your perspective. Okay, like for example, before I got saved, I had lots of money and lots of things, lots more things like that. But you know what I didn't have? I didn't have love and kindness and mercy and compassion and humility. It's a great question, Elijah. If I had a lot of things the world would say, okay, was great, but not the things that are really important. And when it says that he's gracious or he blesses the home of the upright, Elijah, if I didn't get saved, there'd probably be no way I would be married to your mother today. Now that's no slam against her, it's slam against me. I would not even be a dad. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be a good dad. I would be a terrible dad. I would be a terrible friend. I would be somebody, you know, friends with many of you. I would be a terrible leader. It's all about self. So sometimes the blessings come in other ways. I was thinking about this, and I'm so thankful that he's made me into a godly husband, into a godly dad, into a good friend, into a... You know, God has done all these things. He's been so gracious to me as I've humbled myself. And so sometimes we have to remember that. And Psalm either 73, 78, or 71, I can't remember off the top of my head, says, sometimes the wicked will prosper in physical things. You know, they wear their pride around their neck, it says, like a necklace. And it says, and it caused me to stumble. This Christian is praying, writing the Psalms. It caused me to stumble. But then I entered the house of the Lord, and I knew where their end was going to be. And that's in hell. So you can choose that way. And it's only going to last a little while, a dash between two dates. And that pride will eventually fall. I'm saved, and I'm blessed forever. Yes. How do you help me?
I've heard Christians many times look at people with things, health, and say God has blessed them. Maybe. But I've also seen people who don't have a lot of things and see that they're closer to the Lord. So maybe that's really a curse. Things can be. And not necessarily. I'm saying that many, many people, yes, you know, are close to the Lord and God had, you know, God really has blessed them. But is everybody just things?
Yeah. No. I mean, if God does bless me with things, praise God. But if he doesn't, then that's for a reason, and praise God. But I'm so thankful. Without his heart, without this new heart and direction and mindset and renewing my mind he's giving me, my whole life would be different. I'd probably be dead right now. Almost surely be dead. So I'm very thankful. That's a good word. It also says in the scriptures, listen, it says we're to humble ourselves, right? Okay? It's almost like a shirt. You guys were here, some of you, when I put on that rain jacket. Almost like you're putting on a shirt. In Colossians 3:2, it says, to clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, and humility, gentleness, and patience. Put it on. Choose to be humble. It's not, I remember at a Bible study, somebody saying, well, humility is just something you are, or you're not. If you have to ask, you're not very humble. I'm thinking, okay, that sounds totally prideful to me. No, humility is a choice. Yes.
It was Elijah Grass, right?
Yes.
I wish somebody would have, well, somebody probably did, and I probably didn't listen. But it says that, be not deceived, God isn't mocked, because whatever a person sows to, that they'll also reap. And one of the deceiving things in life about both living in sin and living to the Lord, both ways, either way you do, is you don't get instantaneous results all the time. Sometimes you do something for a while and you're like, oh, I'm getting away with this and it's fine, but it's a seed and it's growing and it's going to, it might not be today, you might not have to be humbled. He might not humble you today for doing that. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be a year from now, but when you look back 10 years from now and you're still doing it, you're going to wish you would have been humbled sooner. And vice versa. Sometimes you do the right thing, and you're like, well, why am I doing the right thing? But I'm not getting that fruit. I'm not getting this peace and this fruit of the Spirit that I promised for doing the right thing. But fruit takes time to grow. It doesn't just happen the first day. It doesn't. Things build up, and it takes years and years sometimes. So don't be deceived if, like, you know, you do the wrong thing, you think you got away with it. Or if you think you did the right thing, but it's not going the way you thought it was going to go, because it's about the accumulation. It's about the day-to-day-to-day-to-day and what you're watering and what you're feeding and what's going to grow there.
Thank you, Brian. Good word. Listen, James 4:10 says to humble yourselves before the Lord. You choose to be humble in each situation, and he will lift you up, it says. God will lift you up. 1 Peter 5:6-8 says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. In that same verse, it goes on to say that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I've got enough issues without the creator of the universe opposing me. I want his grace. I need his grace to survive day by day. I do. The results of pride, this is just some of them. You have God's opposition. God, he says in James 4:6, God will detest you. Proverbs 16:5, you'll be a disgrace. He'll bring disgrace upon you. Proverbs 11:2, he'll ultimately bring destruction. Proverbs 16:8, it breeds dissension. Pride does. Proverbs 13:10, you'll end up eventually with a ruined life. Proverbs 29:1, and it brings ultimate poverty and shame. Proverbs 13:18. Psalm 25:9 says he guides the humble. Listen, you choose to be humble in each situation. You choose to be the humble person. And it says, God promises, he says, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. So God will promise you that he'll guide you and teach you if you'll choose a life of humility to honor him. So we have the promise, we have the action. Okay, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Prayer is so important. We talked about it a little bit earlier. But Ephesians 6:18, this is Paul. I don't think he was mentioned. But Paul says, pray in the Spirit at all times. That means when you're cleaning, pray. When you're talking, when you're driving, you can be praying. When you're cutting up stuff to hand it to people, pray. When somebody steps on your toe because we're crowded in here, you know, pray. When you want to be a blessing and you're not in the mood, pray. On every occasion, it says, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Ephesians 6:18. We should be a praying church, a praying people. If you're not, or I'm not, we have forgotten where the power comes from. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to 18 says to pray continually. And of course, for those people who don't know, that doesn't mean like, I'm a Lord, I'm not going to be the name of you know, it just means in a conversation, Lord, do you want me to say this? Lord, do you want me to share this now? Lord, do you want me to go do this or that? It's you're constantly, Lord, whatever you want, I just want to do it. It says in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have toward him as believers, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Or in his name, according to his nature, his character, what he wants. That's what 1 John 5:14 says. And it says, the verse after that says, and if he hears us, we know that he will answer our prayers. James 4:2 to 3 says, you know, some people will say, well, why aren't I praying? I didn't get anything. Well, listen, it might not be the right time. It might be that his answer is no for right now, but it might be that you have the wrong motives. James 4:2 to 3 says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God. That's one reason. Okay? And if you're his kid, you're going to be asking for things that are in agreement with his nature, with his character. Is Jesus really going to ask for a new Porsche? Do you know what I'm saying? Is Jesus really going to ask, if he was here, do you think he would ask for some of the things that I hear a lot of these televangelist preachers ask for? Do you really think that's Jesus' character? Hockey sticks, no. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. That's why you're not getting it. It says that seek, humble yourselves, and pray. Are you willing to do that, Christian? Those who are called by his name. And then it goes on to say, I want you to seek my face. Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek the kingdom of God. No, it doesn't say that, or third or fourth. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. In every situation, God, what do you want first? I want to seek you first because I'm here to promote your name, right? I'm here to honor your name. I represent you as a member of the family. I want to honor the name of Jesus Christ. That's what I want, to seek him first, not what you want first. Make sense? Matthew 6:10, when he was asking him, okay, the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? And he says, okay, you pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Don't be praying, don't be commanding God. I just command that you give me this, and I claim! There's nothing wrong with claiming the promises, but think about this. Think about if those of you who have kids, this will make more sense. Okay? If I promise my kid, okay, this week I'm going to take him to the movies. Okay? Right? And Ezekiel would probably do this. Okay, so here we are Sunday. Monday, you know, it'd be like, Dad, let's say he came to me, Dad, you promised that you'd take me to the movie. I claim it right now. You have to do it right now. I claim that promise. I'd be like, dude, I promised you, right? You're not getting it. In fact, your attitude just stinks. You're not getting that. Well, I claim it. You know what I mean? I'd be like, dude, I get what you're saying, but your heart's all wrong. You know? We're asking, what's your will in this situation? We should get our hearts in such a place to we're asking, God, what do you want? Whatever it is, I'll do it. I don't have the strength to do it or the power to do it. I just will do it. Right? All right. Listen. Matthew 7:7. Ask and you'll receive. You pray. Ask, you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. It doesn't say when, but he says to ask, to seek. Seek him. God, I want more of you. Some of you have such incredible testimonies. We've been hearing so many of them. But you have to know that there's more, right? Seek him. What's holding you back? What is holding you back? What is it? Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Matthew 7:7. Listen, 1 Chronicles 22:19 says, now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Devote your heart and soul. Ask Him. Say, whatever, God, I just want to serve you. If that means I got to be a missionary in Bolivia, I'll be a missionary in Bolivia. If that means I have to stay at this, you know, whatever job or move to this job, or I just want to do your will, Lord, whatever it is, I want to devote my heart and soul to seeking you. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, look to the Lord at His strength. Seek His face always on things. And Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. And that all is a pretty big thing right there. So, if my people are called by your name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and then turn from their wicked ways, the last action. This is the downfall, the turning. Most people don't want to do the turn part. Okay, well, I guess I can humble myself. I'll pray, and I'll seek, I guess, but I don't want to turn on my ways. That's asking a little much, and this is the downfall. And this is, therefore, you Israelites, or you people of God, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent, that means turn around. Turn your thinking, alter your thinking, alter your direction. He says, turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Really quickly, go to Psalms 32:1-5. Psalms 32:1-5. Turn there with me. If you would. Give me a few more minutes. All right, somebody there? Somebody mind reading? Psalm 32:1-5.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in those in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groanings all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. The vitality has turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah.
When I tried to cover it, when I wasn't turning away, I felt like you were just—I was like almost like cancer in my bones. You know, it just killed me, like going out in the middle of summer here in Florida, like, you know, 30 minutes outside, you're like, oh, give me an AC. You know, it's crushing. But when I turned and I, you forgave my sins when I confessed them to you. That's what God wants us to do. In Isaiah 59:1-2, he says, listen, the Lord's arm is not too short to save or too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear your call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. There comes a point where you just want to keep going one direction. You don't want to turn to God, turn away from your sins. Okay, I'll let you go that way. You go your own way, I won't listen. You want your own way? See how that works for you. It will suck the energy and life out of your body. Don't do it. Isaiah 55:6-7 says this, and here's a lot of the blessings. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. A lot of the same words we've been using. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. If you will just turn, wherever you're at, you could be 2 minutes away from the Lord or 200 miles away from the Lord. Just turn around. Just turn to him. And he will heal you and forgive you and bring you back to him. That's a God. And here's the reward. It says, if my people, here's the promise, if my people who are called by my name, that's the promise. Here's the action. Will humble themselves, will pray, will seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Here's the reward. Then I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. That's your God. That's the reward. That's the if and the then of the Bible. If you will do that, if you will humble yourselves, pray, seek my face in turn, then I'll hear from you and I'll forgive you and I'll heal your land. I'll heal your heart. That's the reward. And I'll just leave us with this, you know, because there's a lot of if-thens in the Bible. This is Deuteronomy 30, 19 to 20. This is kind of like the then. And he says this, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And this is what God says to me, and he says to you, now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. And you know what? The Lord's bringing to mind a scripture that's not on there. Give me just one shake of a cat's tail. And I want to look up this verse, because there's something else that he's... put it on my heart. Give me just a second. I'm sorry. Bear with me while I turn the page here. Turn the page up. Okay, now choose life so that you and your children may live, so that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him. Oh! And then he goes on to say, for the Lord is your life. It's not on there, but it's in this, actually in this verse. It says, for the Lord is your life. That's what we have to remember. The Lord is our lives. If we're believers in Jesus Christ, he's what matters in everything. It's his glory. It's his name that needs to be honored. Not what we want in our life. It's what he wants. And so if we want change in our marriage, if we want change in our families, if we want change in our hearts, if we want change in our nations, then we have to remember and we have to go back. We want that joy. This is the verse. Let's pray. I've already gone over, so let's just pray right now. Father, Lord, you know what you're doing in each one of our lives, Lord. I know your Holy Spirit is trying to speak something. And maybe it's just for me to hear today, Lord. Maybe... I step out and trust you, Lord, that you're leading by the Holy Spirit and you would give me the words to say, and I thank you that you did, Lord. But I pray that you're trying to do, and I know that you're trying to do something more. So would you start stirring hearts to prayer? And I know I don't want to motivate anybody or cajole anybody. I'm asking you, would you stir people in their hearts, Lord, and in their minds to do these things, Lord? To humble themselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn away from wickedness and turn to you, Lord God. I ask in Jesus' name for your blessing on each individual person here, Lord. I thank you, Lord, just for all the child care workers, Lord. I just ask you to bless them, Lord. I thank you so much for their faithfulness, Lord. All these people are so faithful to serve in your body, Lord, whether it be sweeping or vacuuming or... It's just a million things, Lord God, in so many different areas. I don't even want to say them all because I'll forget. But Lord, would you bless your people? Will you call them to prayer? Will you stir them to action, Lord God? Will you promise, stir them to action, Lord? And then will you bless them with the reward of that, Lord? Will you just take their hearts, their precious hearts, knit them together as one, Lord God, as you were one? I'm asking you to do that, Lord God. I'm asking you to set this house on fire for you, Lord. And I ask that you would start by lighting a fire in each and every person here, Lord God, in this family, in that family, Lord God, in this person. And that fire would be contagious and that would spread, Lord God. And that would burn like a wildfire, Lord. I pray that your heart and your word and your spirit would go forth from this place, Lord God, continually until you call us home. I ask for your blessing, Lord. on people as they go today, that you would impress this in their minds, Lord, today. Something that was said today would speak to their hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And that you would stir them to love and actions. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a good week. We'll see you Tuesday at the women's group, Wednesday at youth, and Thursday at the barbecue at Clubstone.